Chodanandamabrajajanaranjana.
Chodanandamabrajajanaranjana.
Jamunastira Vanachari.
Jamunastira
Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava
Kunjabi Hari.
Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dari.
Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Hari.
Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana.
Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana.
Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana.
Yashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana.
Yamunatira Vanachari.
Jamunatira Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
We got a hairdresser.
Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jai, so Papa ki jai, Shishi Astasaki ki jai, Shishi Armanava ki jai.
Hey.
Chitanya Chandraya Mandir Ki. Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devam Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devam Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udiraye.
Oh, Jayam Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, and as far as I understand, it's 1943. That's correct?
Correct. That's correct. 1943.
Okay. Goodness. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Deacon. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta
Uvacha.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Okay.
Mano Vad Drishti Vrittidhi.
Mano Vad Drishti Vrittidhi.
Atmani Atmanam Adesha.
Atmanamavesha.
Sontha Shvasa Uparamat.
Sontha Shvasa Uparamat.
Bolie.
Pushkarji. Pushkarji, you can go first, Prabhuji. Okay, we'll come back in. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Manova Drishti Vrittivi.
Manova Drishti Vrittivi.
Atmanyatmanam Avesha.
Atmanitya Mahavishya.
Sontha Shvasa Uparamat.
Sontha Shvasa Uparamat. Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Manova Drishti Vrittivihi.
Manova Drishti Vrittivihi.
Atmanyatmanam Avishya.
Atmanyatmanam Avishya.
Santavasvasu Paramat.
Santashvasa Uparamat.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Krishna Evam Bhagavati.
Manova Drishti Vrittivi.
Manova
Drishti Vrittivi.
Atmani Atmanam Avesha.
Atmani Atman Avesha.
Santa Svasa Uparamat.
Santa Svasa Uparamat.
Hi, Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Goswami said.
Sutta Goswami said.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Evam.
Evam.
Only.
Only.
Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Manaha.
Manaha.
With mind.
With
mind.
Vak.
Vak.
Speech.
Speech.
Drishti.
Drishti.
Sight.
Sight. Sight.
Vrittivihi.
Vrittivihi.
Activities.
Activities.
Atmani.
Atmani.
Unto the super soul.
Unto the super soul.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
The living being.
The living being.
Avesha.
Avesha.
Having merged in.
Having merged in.
Saha.
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 He.
He.
In Vishnudev.
Anta,
antaha svasaha.
Antaha
svasaha.
Inhaling.
Inhaling.
Uparamat.
Uparamat.
Became silent.
Became silent.
Silent.
Okay, so Prabhu, especially those that are on Skype right now, could you please mute yourself so that Hanuman Prashik Swami won't have to compete with other noises? So thank you very much, Bruce. Please mute.
Yes. Now Hanuman Prashik Swami can be the only noise. There we go. Yeah, translation. Sudha Goswami said, thus Bhishmadev merged himself in the Super Soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions. And thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. Nice. That was purport. The stage attained by Bhishmadeva while quitting his material body is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord and his mind into remembering his different activities. He chanted the glories of the Lord, and by his sight he began to see the Lord personally present before him. And thus all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection, and it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by practice of devotional service. The devotional service of the Lord consists of nine principles of service, activities. They are hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshiping, praying, executing the orders, fraternizing, and fully surrendering. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to award the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. There's a really super sentence. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of the Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Bhishmadeva at the end. The unique situation at Bhishmadeva's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Bhishmadeva, who was one of the eight Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life, but one who dies like Vishnudev attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is especially meant for dying. So it's very nice to be here again. Actually, before we were listening to the classes, most every day, but we have moved from Tennessee, our kind of office there, and now we're down in Houston, Texas, and we haven't been able to access so much every day. So I don't know how the classes have been going. Yeah, we're going to go to Mexico for the weekend and come back here. Trying to travel now, traveling and preaching. So a couple of things impressed me. One thing, of course, is just a general perspective, on the on this verse, because first off, of course, in this chapter, it's describing the historical scene that Yudhishthira is coming with the Pandavas to see Bhishmadeva, who's about to leave his body. And so he then, first off, pacifies their confusion about their situation, their Varnashram's situation, acting properly as a king. His bad karma is going to come upon me, like that. And maybe even being not acting properly as a devotee of Krishna, to allow all of Krishna's parts and parcels to have died like this. But in any case, Yudhishthira had a lot of anxiety after the battle, after all these things had happened. And of course, we face the same things. We have hellish fights, amongst people like verbal and social conflicts. Everybody has these in their family, in their work, in your community, and sometimes you wonder, you and your friends came out okay, we won or whatever, but there's so many disturbances and so many people have left and everything else, and you wonder, my gosh, did I really do the right thing? And so that's what Bhishmadeva gave you, just to the basis for deciding that yes, even though it was such a ghastly affair, you did the right thing. And then after that, then he says, all right, I'm going to become the king. So by Krishna's request, and Vishnudeva began to describe the Varnashram. okay, create a proper environment, you know, free from the catastrophe, proper daily activities and environment. Okay, and now then we can go even more internal. And, of course, we're describing that Bhishma Dev is engaging in Lila Smarnam. He's, you know, he's chanting, reciting different pastimes of Krishna. And this is to stimulate, this is what, this is Vibhava, yeah? To stimulate his feeling, his Sai Bhava, his relationship with Krishna, and to raise it up to a point of intensity, you know, where again, where he can be sufficiently intensely focused on Krishna, that his mind won't have any space for any kind of attraction to Krishna's external energy like that. You know? And so these prayers go on until, I guess, number 42, which was yesterday. And there he said, now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even in the hearts of middle speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. So Isopanishad says the same thing, though, that one who sees that Ishvara everywhere in all things, there's no need to see anybody as an enemy. There's no fear or greed for him. It's just like, again, you give the example, like somebody who's afraid that his left hand is going to choke him to death. My left hand is out to get me. So he keeps like a hammer in his right hand, and every now and again he smashes his left hand and he says, I know you, I'm watching you. I think this guy's mad. Yeah. So the same way, once we realize that we transcend this duality of different people, different bodies, and you realize, no, everybody's part and parcel of Krishna. So whether they're doing it directly or indirectly, everybody is serving Krishna. And that's what I'm trying to do too. You know? And so therefore, everybody should be successful. You know? And I have no fear of what people are doing with that. And Prabhupada said, this is only possible, this point of view. In the Isopanishad, he says, this view is only possible for a devotee. First he says, Uttamadhikari. Then he says, Madhyamadhikari. Like that. So Uttamadhikari, spontaneously, you can see how everybody ultimately is a devotee. And Madhyamadhikari, by using his intelligence and stopping and thinking, he can see, okay, yeah, this guy's a young guy. So he'd come to that position. And now then this today's prayer is, thus Bhishma Dev merged himself in the Super Soul, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his mind, speech, sight, and actions, thus he became silent and his breathing stopped. And tomorrow, knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent, like birds at the end of the day. Like that. So it's a success story. Yeah. And a couple points I just thought of myself here. One, of course, is the idea that, you know, Atmani Atmanam, that this whole emerging thing, Prabhupada doesn't talk about it much in the purport, but usually whenever these kind of things come up, Prabhupada makes it very clear, probably the acharyas too, that, you know, merging into the super soul doesn't mean to become one with the super soul. You know? Rather, it means to have no separate interest like that. You know? I read a book right now by Paul F. Knittner, Knitter, and he's the Paul Tillich Professor of Theology and World Religions and Culture at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. And as far as I know, it's one of the most powerful American seminaries and, you know, exists. So the book was recommended to me by one gentleman here in Houston. We're going to try to do a program with them. It's for the Center for Health and Spirituality at the Houston Medical Center, which is a really powerful organization. A lot of doctors, so that doctors naturally, there is some interest in health and spirituality. So the title of the book by Paul Knittner is, Without Buddha, I Could Not Be a Christian. So I'm reading part of it. And this is very contemporary thinking, you know. So he says, to experience, this is page 19, to experience and believe in a Trinitarian God is to experience and believe in a God who is not, as Tillich would say, the ground of being, but the ground of interbeing. God is the activity of giving and receiving, of knowing and loving, of losing and finding, of dying and living, that embraces and infuses all of us, all of creation. Though every image or symbol limps, Christians can and must say what the Buddhists might agree with, that if we're going to talk about God, God is neither a noun nor an adjective. God is a verb. Verb. With the word God, we're trying to get at an activity that is going on everywhere, rather than a being that exists somewhere. God is much more an environment than a thing. So, to some degree, other presentations I've seen, they're complaining there is valid that the God is up in heaven. He's got a gray beard and varicose veins, and he doesn't really deal with the earth much. He sets it in motion. Okay, you know? So that kind of materialistic idea of God as a person, yeah, we object to that. You know? So then one tries for the Upanishadic thing of, you know, of seeing him as, you know, all pervading and these kind of things. You know? But in general, sometimes the tendency is like that you know, becoming God conscious means to forget my individuality and become one with the whole scene and dance with the cosmic dance and all this kind of stuff like that. You know? But the problem, of course, you know, that's Brahman. Brahman is like that. Brahman always exists. It's Sat. You know, it's all pervading and has no beginning, no middle, no end. You know? But the thing is that in the first canto, second chapter, there is this comment, Nashobate, about the idea of an infallible hero, then the whole thing is not Shobate. That's not brilliant. Jaya Jaya Gora Chandir Aratika Shobha. It's true, you know, but it's not brilliant. And the soul is the soul has this aesthetic quality. So therefore we're not satisfied in this kind of thing. You can't say it's false, and God is everywhere, and God is beyond the time factor. But to not have a personal relationship with him, then that's the problem. So Vishwadeva's whole technique was this whole point of Lila Shmaranam, a very personal technique. And we can actually experience that it actually works. So the purport, you know, of course in the text it says, let's see, mana vak drishta ritta bhi, mind, word, intelligence, these things. So the purport, Prabhupada's, you know, it's highlighting this fact that devotional service means hearing, chanting, and especially hearing is so important, he says. Any one of them or all of them are equally competent to reward the desired result, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. The first item, hearing, is the most important item of all, and therefore hearing of Bhagavad Gita and later on Srimad Bhagavatam is essential for the serious candidate who wants to attain the stage of Vishuddhi at the end. So that one sentence there really stands out to me. You know? First thing is that with this merging, the biggest point of this merging thing is still a very active and prominent discussion amongst so-called Christians. You know? And other people too, in varying degrees, they have this idea. You know? And so there's a lot of this basic work to understand how God can be a person. He has no hands, but he controls everything. He has no legs, but he runs faster than everybody. He never leaves his abode, but he knows everything. Yeah, this is, the Upanishads are necessary for a kind of people who are totally, what's the word, distraught because of material ideas of God and reality. You know, it's impersonalism. You know. But somehow or other, if we can get the basic idea across by good kirtan and good prasadam, and animate people by good Krishna katha, by personal association, by friendship, you know, then they can get a little taste right away of some non-material, personal relationship. And then especially how to do this, Prabhupada's saying here, any one of them, but they require to be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee. So we have the different levels of the ladder, to success from this world on up. And, of course, Patanjali has this system, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and finally samadhi. And Prabhupada says, for every technique in the Ashtanga yoga system, there's a corresponding technique in the bhakti yoga system. Like if you actually should dance, you should play the drum or kartals and dance. And of course, obviously that adjusts the prana and gets the different knots out of our body, tactile body, and get free. And we can chant with an open throat. Yeah, kirtan. So everything happens when you follow the process properly. Adoshvada, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta. So a little preliminary faith, this might be good. And then starting to hang out with these people, read what their acharya has to say. And then, actually becoming a formal student, matriculate. And then becoming steady, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, bad habits go away, distractions go away, nishta. So I kind of say that's maybe what we're talking about here, must be practiced persistently. We have to have regular sadhana. We have to have a regular schedule. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nakadi. The six Goswamis, they would divide their time up in chanting, dancing, singing. And so that's a whole sophisticated thing because different people have different bodies, different schedules, and the world is always changing in many ways. So very, very, very prominent aspect of Vaidhi Bhakti, to my comprehension, is building up a pretty, sophisticated system of hearing and chanting. Because I couldn't talk on Friday because we're traveling, so we rescheduled it. And we're discovering, using teleconferencing, for our Bhakti Bhai Baba program, that actually WebEx, it costs $40 a month, but it's like about six times better than Skype, like that. So much control, you can show documents, you can record the whole thing automatically, so many nice things. Yeah. Also better telecommunication because of the system. Okay, so this is all an integral part of how to be persistently engaged in hearing and chanting. Yeah. So nishta. Yeah. And we have to come to this point of having a regular intense program all the time. Yeah. When Mataji in San Jose, in Arvika, she has a ladies' group, and every day during lunch, they're all working ladies. They all have a conference call, same thing. They read a few verses together and discuss them like that. Yeah? So, 24 hours a day. There's a book called Conscious Dreaming. And basically, his idea is that it's what we're talking about. Is that right before you go to sleep, you get the kind of mood and humor that you want to get going. So if you go to the last arctic, the Shayana arctic, you can chant, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, very melodious and relaxed, hot milk, Krishna book. then you're in that bhava. You're in that perspective, that attitude, that intelligence. And his basic idea is that then you give the boat a little push, and then you're going to be, you know, dreaming in that direction. And it actually took, you know, seen it works. You when you come back up to the dreaming stage, from Shushupti, deep sleep, up to the dreaming stage, then you're actually a little bit conscious of what's going on. So in the halfway, you know, the ability, you can push your boat in a certain direction. You can dream about certain things, you know, think about certain things like that. Yeah. So even if we're sleeping then, 24 hours a day, you know, of course we can be Krishna conscious like that. Yeah. Yeah. And as you become more purified from tamagun, then actually it's, you know, we don't really, our intelligence never really falls in the mode of ignorance. So intelligence is always keeping the mind engaged, you know, properly in pastimes, lila smarnam, all these things like that. So we have to come to this platform, the Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Vajra Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, you know, Ruchi, and then taste. So it says, must be practiced persistently under the guidance of an expert devotee of the Lord. Yeah. So in some ways, in the beginning, we don't need expert guidance. You know, you join the temple, and not even the temple, usually when people joined in San Francisco, when I was joining, the Bhakta program was Jayananda, nothing formal. But it was this, you know, and you're in the ashram, so some brahmana would show you how to put on tilak, how to dress, what's the schedule, which songs to memorize, where are the song books, how to hold your beads. So it's expert up to the level of your necessity, but it's not that you have to have Srila Prabhupada's association. I've actually had that. It was a big argument with one devotee saying that, well, now that Prabhupada has left, we have to all take shelter some of these godbrothers of Prabhupada, because they're with the Madhukaris, and without this expert guidance, you can't make progress. Yeah. But in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, just by associating with the devotees of ISKCON, the members of ISKCON, one can fully revive his Krishna consciousness. So you have to appreciate, you know, different devotees are on different levels, and they're expert up to a certain level. Yeah. But if we come to this point of Nishta, you know, then the next level is Ruchi. So also again, Upadeshamrita, Shatnama Krishna, Charitadi, Sitapiya Vidya. So text number 7 talks about this first stage of getting free from this material attachment, Anartha Nivritti, Sambandha, establishing our relationship with Krishna. And text number 8, same thing. Tanama, Rupa, Chari, same thing. You go on chanting, you go on seeing the deity, you go on reading the Krishna book. Yeah? Yeah. But now, at a different level. So then is coming the point of Raganuga. And one must serve Krishna under the guidance of an expert devotee. Like that. Yeah? So here, the expert devotee, I would say, can be taken at the stage of, you know, a beginning Vaidhi Bhakti. But also where we've got the fruit of Vaidhi Bhakti of actually being liberated from the intense pressures and anxieties and doubts and things that Maya sends at us, you know. And we're always feeling that Krishna's benefiting from our service, that Prabhupada's happy what we're doing, you know. But now that we have to intensify, and maybe a lot of people are at that level where you're engaged 24 hours a day, or maybe 23, 20, 22, you know. Yeah. But now, the next thing has to intensify. You know? One example maybe I gave us before is like a time management guy. He was part of a course for these managers for one corporation. He went there and he pulled a big glass jar out, like maybe like, you know, 2 feet tall, and then he put these big rocks inside. And he asked his like 20 executives in the class, "Is it full?" And they said, yeah, it seems to be. So he pulled a jar of very fine sand out. He started pouring it and shaking it, pouring it and shaking it. And the sand, you know, filled in the cracks and went up to the top. Now the guys are beginning a little, and students are becoming a little interested. And he said, is it full now? And they said, yeah, okay, we see what you're talking about. Now it's full. And he said, no, it's not. So now you pull a jar of water out. Okay, God bless you. And poured all the water in there and went to the top. And he asked again, is it full now? And one of the guys said, well, it seems full to me, but I don't know where you're going. Maybe you got some other idea. So he said, as far as I know, it's full to me too. So the point is that you can always keep adding things like that, intensifying. And we have to do that. But the guy said, but first off, get the big rocks in first. So I would say, our program of serious hearing and chanting, systematic hearing and chanting, which Prabhupada always talks about, systematic. Hearing and chanting will always have an effect. Eating will always have an effect. But if you eat systematically, the effect will be much better. So, full morning and evening program, right? Chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles. And then reading about Krishna will be so much more effective. Engaging in the sacrifice, chanting 16 nice rounds, follow the four principles. And full morning and evening program. Get up an hour and a half before sunrise. Buy a rooster. Keep it in your bedroom. Put your alarm clock across the room with a light. Put a glass of water there. Clear the pathway. When your alarm clock goes off, you can't reach the snooze alarm, so you got to stagger across the room. You turn the light on, and there's a glass of water there, and you have enough intelligence to drink it. Then you go wash your hands and everything, and by then you're starting to feel awake. Okay, sit up, some austerity. But you can do it. And after some time, you begin to feel, and there's no distraction. The banks haven't opened yet. The bars don't open. Passionate ignorance or not manifest. And so we engage in systematic hearing and chanting in the morning. And then when we engage in our Varnashram activities during the daytime or different kinds of sankirtan, it's based on this pure hearing and chanting. And we can keep a persistent program going all day. We start to get a taste. And then because we're getting a little taste, then we can start Raga Nuga Bhakti. Now we can try and imitate the indication of an advanced devotee. It's like, for example, you can play the piano, you're practicing your scales. Your teacher says, come on, I'll play on the violin with you. So you're playing along with him, and he's putting in some real feeling and expression, and you're really getting into it. It's nice. So you can't do it by yourself, but with his association, you can actually get that feel, that taste and stuff. So Ruchi, then Raga Nuga. Then, of course, it's more intense. And then Asakti, so you become addicted. And then Bhava. So at the point of Bhava, there's no more Maya. Maya may be presenting herself to Vishnudeva and the option of so many heavenly situations. But when Bhava is there, Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Haya Andakar, Nahan Krishna Tahan Yahi, Mayara Adhikar. And it's like dark and light, She's there, like with Maharaj Bharata, but she can't exert any influence. So Bhava Bhakti means green mango. It's a mango. We know what it is now, exactly what it is, no doubt. But it's just not relishable. So Bhava Bhakti means now, to increase the intensity to such a point that Krishna can appreciate us. So first off, smartadhyaya sadatam vishnor, vismartadhyaya najatu chit, sarvabedi nisedayor etayor eva kinkaraha. Aha, I remember that. Kinkaraha. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the vaidhi bhakti, all the rules and regulations are servants of this rule. So that's the whole purpose, always remembering Krishna. And then that smarnam has to then become more intense and more broad, and then by unceasing, broad, intense Krishna Smaranam, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, we actually can remember our Swarup like that. So So that's my kind of my thoughts about the verse here, about merging, and then about this hearing properly, from different devotees, and especially from Prabhupada, and the portion in the center, and then expert guidance. Hrishikesh Ananda, he was with Prabhupada, I guess it was in Bombay, Mother Narayani said she was transcribing the Nectar of Instruction there, and Hrishikesh Ananda was coming, and then I was looking at, he has some recollections of that days on the internet, and he actually kind of pushed Prabhupada to do the Upadeshan. She said he kind of pushed him, and he writes it as Prabhupada agreed. In any case, oh my goodness, it's so nice that we have Prabhupada's Upadeshan Rita translation commentary. So anyway, he said at one point he asked Prabhupada about taking Siddha Pranali initiation, and about maybe Prabhupada wouldn't be, he wanted to take it now or something, and Prabhupada says, I will give it to you sometime. And he said, well, Prabhupada, what if you're not here, in the future like that? And Prabhupada said, it does not depend upon physical presence. When you are ready, whether I am here or not, I will give it to you. Very intense. But some people have worn Siddha Pranali before, people have come to this point of asaktis, before Uruchi, before you can really appreciate this Raghunuga Bhakti. It's our understanding. But Prabhupada is saying, no, you're already beyond this level of the gross body. Now you're on the psychological level, the Paramatma Lok, and you're feeling Krishna's presence. The books show up at the right time. People come. Life experiences are giving you a lesson. It's exactly what you need. So this is that level, of Raghunuga Bhakti. And then this, the Smarnam has a real penetrating effect at that point. And then we can start to wake up. So in our Bhakti Bhai Bhava program, we're trying to organize this. Oh, my goodness, I'm dying. It's so incredible trying to be a student, a professor, and an administrator all at the same time. And do a couple more projects. I'm actually can't handle it all. But I can see what it is. It's a matter of intensification. Probably not that I should give up too much, but it's more like this guy intensifies my time so that everything I'm doing does four or five things at the same time. So we're just finishing off, I think it was chapter 6, Vyasadeva's instructions. And so, Narada Muni's instructions. So there it finishes, and Narada Muni finishes with an example of his life, same as Vishnudeva is kind of giving an example here of how to die. So Narada Muni shows how he developed this through his whole life, and the purport probably says, here we have a nice summary of the whole process from the example of Narada Muni's life. He says, but there are many intricacies and different ways about going about it. And Vyasadeva will develop these in the following texts of Srimad Bhagavatam, one after another. So, cause otherwise you think, well, my goodness, why go beyond Upadeshamrita? Why go beyond Bhagavad Gita? Why go beyond the first two cantos? So many things there. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's all there. But now we're going to look at it from different directions, different perspectives, and different little problems we have, different little hang-ups that we have. Suddenly is going to pop out when we read one story. Ah, that's it. Uh-huh. Yeah. I forgot what it is now, but I remember that. Oh, yeah, I was looking at Encyclopedia Britannica, and I looked up Krishna, and it's exactly all these things that Prabhupada talks about. Krishna was a black dude who lived in the forest and had a lot of girlfriends, and his cult got merged into the cult of Vasudeva Krishna. It's Encyclopedia Britannica. And they're talking all these points that Prabhupada is always arguing about these things. And so when I read that, suddenly all these different times I've heard Prabhupada argue about these things all clicked together. Because this is exactly what he's talking about. Maybe even have read the Encyclopedia Britannica. So like that, my goodness, always different very practical realizations and advancements and mercy, more mercy coming from Krishna. Okay? Getting more and better tighter association by internet, by telephone, by letters, you know, by physical association with community, like that. You know? And then increasing the intensity. Okay. So that's about all I can think of. So any comments or questions, complaints, ideas?
Shai Maharaj, thank you for the class. I'd like to ask a question and then kind of a request. The question, you were talking about bhava. When one comes to that stage of bhava, then you're sort of insulated from maya. I was wondering, maybe there's different stages of bhava, because we read that, you also mentioned Mahabharata. When Mahabharata was in his meditation and worshiping his deity and so on, he was at the level of bhava, but yet still somehow he fell from that position because he became attached to the deer. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And then my request, you hit a kind of a transcendental nerve. Is that a train going by?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just about 200 feet away from our house here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then my request is, you mentioned Jayananda, and Jayananda was the Bhakta program. We just celebrated Jayananda's disappearance days. We were talking about him. I was wondering if you had some Jayananda nectar you could share with us about when you joined and how he was an inspiration to you. Always like
okay.
to hear Jayananda nectar.
Okay, so I'm looking first off for, I got my database open here. His affection toward the deer increased. Alas, King, how helpless, he denounced the Guru of life. It's in the fifth canto, eighth chapter. Even though one is in the denounced order of life, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion. One says certainly, he's making this comment. He was lying down with a deer, he was scratching his throat. He would not think of the deer, blah, blah. Alas, I do not know. Alas, the deer is what it is. It's a prince. Yeah, after speaking like a madman, he went outside. I have it in my notes. Let's see. Where, it says he accidentally fell down. Do you know the actual text?
No, I know it's Prabhupada mentions because of his neglect of the order of the spiritual master.
Yeah.
And somewhere it's mentioned that he was on the level of, in the bhava stage.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay.
Maybe there's different stages where, you know, bhava matures and becomes more rich in a certain stage of bhava. That's where Maya can't get you. I don't know, that's why I'm asking the question.
Well, I can find it. Okay, I'm clicking on Word. Okay. Opening up my index. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Is that very important? I think that everybody, you know, should develop their own index, you know, especially if you're preaching like that. And where to find certain things like that. Okay, so here I have it under the topic of, I think, origin of the jiva. So I go, click, okay, origin of the jiva, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 587, what I have here, 587, goes back, that's not it, 588, so many times, I'm like, things down the wrong place. I looked from one place out. 588. Tashyaha va enukunaka uchayar. Gradually, Maharaj Bharata became very affectionate toward the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from attacks of tiger and other animals. You know, when it itched, he petted it. In this way, he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to the deer, Maharaj Bharata forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual so-and-so. From this, Prabhupada says, for this you can understand we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe the 10 Mangalarshi, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, follow the rules and regulations prescribed by the Acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we will fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. And of course, Bhagavad Gita, the acts of charity and sacrifice should never be given up. But as an honest order, should never give up regular principles. He should worship the deity, give his time and life in the service of Krishna. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because they have accepted the sannyas orders. The activities of Maharaj Bharata should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. So it's not this text. If I can't find it right away, I should probably look at my notes again. But basically what it says, and the text, it says that he accidentally, because of his previous karma, he fell from the platform of devotional service. So in the purport, Prabhupada directly says, no, on the platform of
Bhava, I remember that.
Not possible. He fell down because he consciously, neglected Krishna's service like that. So that's my point, is that at any point from the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, one can fall from the platform of Paramahamsa if he becomes envious of others. So that's a subtle point, because I think Prabhupada's using the word fall down in two ways. One is just we have free will, and therefore we can make that choice. If we didn't have free will, then okay, we're in Vaikuntha Prabhu, we're experiencing so much bliss, how can we possibly fall down? Well, they have no free will. You're like a heroin addict, and you're addicted to your drug. And whether you're serving Krishna out of fear of pain, or you're serving Krishna out of addiction to pleasure, selfish pleasure, either case, you have no free will. When we hear this, we become frightened. Raga, Baya, Krodha. I'm responsible? Yes. But Radharani is always there to give us a little hand. That's a thing like that, with our free will. But basically, we're as good as Krishna. But yes, it's very frightening, and that's why Krishna really has interest in us. He's not just pretending. We're a little kid, but we can do stuff that's really, really charming, really amazing. So that's my understanding at the platform of Bhava. In general, like we're saying, then Bhava is, Maya is there, and there's no possibility. But, because it's called, a stage of development, then there must be different stages and things like that. But pretty much, as far as I understand, it's not a matter. It's like, Gopal Kumar, he's in Vaikuntha. Again, as far as I understand, the verse says that the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu comprehensions of the Purusha avatar are still materially contaminated, sat and chit. And only when you come to realizing Krishna as Karanadakshaya Vishnu, everything is coming from him, and you engage in Shantaras, are you actually fixed in the spiritual platform? But then after that, by worshipping Purusha avatars, you can advance to Lila avatars. By worshipping Lila avatars, you can advance to Sankarshan. And by worshipping Sankarshan, you can advance to, Dwarka, Mathura, Balaram, like that. So even this, that's what I think, that Bhava is this platform of intensification. But Maya is not there. So there's no accidental fall down from the platform of Bhava.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Okay.
Just like Arjuna his bewilderment was actually the arrangement of Lord Krishna so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken, was Bharata Maharaj's falling away and getting attached to the deer. Was that actually Lord Krishna's arrangement also in order to provide this example for the Srimad Bhagavatam? Or did it, I don't know. was it really Krishna's arrangement? Because we read that everything is Krishna's arrangement. So, like, he was not following orders of a spiritual master and became attached to the deer, but was that somehow or another still Krishna's arrangement?
Well, sometimes it's like, again, you know, if you won't stay in the house, and you want to be independent, have your own house and this kind of stuff, then your parents make an arrangement for you, you know? But they don't like it because now you're out there alone at college and you're a young girl by yourself. Hey, it's not a good thing, you know? You know? So, but they make an arrangement for you, you know? And so, but if you want to stay in a nice environment and like that and stuff, then they make an arrangement also. So, you know, Krishna has different arrangements, and yeah, everything's Krishna's arrangement, but one of them is the external arrangement. So that's the solution, is that, you know, it's Krishna's arrangement, but it's not his direct arrangement. It's not his, like, personal, you know, shelter in the house. It's his impersonal shelter by paying the rent on the place. And you know, having the landlord and people and the police watch over you and stuff like that. And then specifically whether, you know, Arjuna's thing, her Prabhupada said that Arjuna forgot who Krishna was by Krishna's arrangement, but he never ceased to love Krishna. You know? So he experienced the same thing. We're agitated, we're going on like this and that. And we know, it's just I'm angry at Krishna and stuff, but it's not in my heart. It's just, you know, it's just like, yeah, agitation externally, and you know, maybe part of my getting something straightened out, and Krishna allows me to vent my stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't remember reading like it was an internal pastime. When Vyasadeva was confused and produced all the Vedas and everything else, which weren't, which misdirected people in many ways, then Narada Muni came and set him straight. But Prabhupada says, hey, he doesn't need a guru, he's God. You know, he's plenary expansion of God. So then therefore, no, obviously then Vyasadeva wasn't in Maya, but externally he was, you know, manifesting it like that. So I don't know how many, you know, sometimes I think it says that by Krishna's arrangement people are confused by the internal potency. So pastime can go on. Like Mother Yashoda, you know. But here in this particular story, I don't know if he actually was, you know, jiva soul in Maya achieving perfection, and he had a little bump along the way, or if it was Krishna, you know, did something with the internal potency to put an example for us. So I don't know. I haven't read any place where it describes him other than being a jiva soul like coming out of Maya.
And it doesn't make the lesson any less significant. Whether it was Krishna's arrangement or not Krishna's arrangement.
No.
Because in either case, the lesson is a perfect lesson for us. What's not critical.
Be careful of pets.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
When you start kissing your cat, cat, you know you've gone too far. Snooky ookie.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
You were mentioning, Maharaj, about the comparison or similarities about Bhishma Dev's or the description in that section regarding the Astanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga.
Yes, uh-huh.
So when I had a chance to speak on one of the verses, we did that comparison, and what happened was, I showed that how it is. We have everything in Bhakti Yoga, and they have it more on a material level, all the stages,
yeah.
When ours is transcendental. So what I was going to say was, I took that Bhagavatam class, and I was going to do, I was invited at a yoga studio, and they obviously do Ashtanga yoga, and they wanted to see a different kind of yoga because they don't know what is bhakti yoga or how practical it is. So then I started showing them, because after they're doing their exercise, they thought that it might be a bit boring to be just sitting and listening to philosophy. So I said, no, you can't sit down, but you need to continue. We're going to show you some steps of bhakti yoga. So I showed them Swami step and Gaura step. And I said, the rule is no smiling or laughing. So obviously, they had so much fun. They didn't realize how bhakti yoga could be so much fun, because we ended up having kirtan with primary names of Ram. And then afterwards, I showed them the difference. I made it into PowerPoint. That same class from Bhagavatam made it into PowerPoint. And they were glued, you know, to see that the difference between the two yoga and how it actually involves the soul, whereas they are doing it on more like material platform.
So sometimes, it's very nice. Thank you. The point is that our process is sublime. Sublime means that something goes from a gross stage to a subtle stage with no perceivable steps in between. For example, dry ice is frozen carbon dioxide, and it goes directly from the solid stage to the gas stage. So it's considered in chemistry a sublime state change. So if people are ready, if they can get that taste, you mentioned that, right? You know, with devotees, like associating with devotee and getting a little kirtan chanting, hearing, if they're fortunate enough to get that taste, then, you know, they can go through all the other steps very quickly, because now they have the lighthouse. Oh, this is where I'm going, you know. And so, yeah, like you say, then you can do Ashtanga yoga. You can do yama, niyama, stop smoking, get up. You can do asana, but you can do the asanas, you know, with this whole purpose of purifying your body for Krishna consciousness, you know, for serving Krishna. Like that. Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, but if they aren't ready like that and they can't take to it, okay, then, you know, engage them in pious activities, engage them in Ashtanga yoga, engage them in philosophical direction, like that. And, you know, that's tough luck. slower process. But there's also ask about Jayananda. My gosh. When I joined the temple, I came there. I got a Krishna book. I think Budi Manta sold it to me. I was at the campus. UC Davis, University of California, Davis. I read it for 1 year, you know, really yoga. I was doing yoga and stuff, so I was really reading it very seriously, and I realized many things. You know. So I started visiting the temple finally, and then one day when I was there, like, I would come from Sacramento, so it was like about a 45, hour and a half drive, and, you know, my good wife wasn't exactly taken to Krishna consciousness the same way I was. So many, many, you know, conflicts, confusions. So then I would go there, and one day I was there for lunch. I think it was a weekday, and this guy came and sat next to me, and, you know, he had some working type clothes on, and he had a rope for a belt, and he said, "Hi, how are you?" You know, sat down, very amiable, friendly kind of guy. "Where are you from? Where are you?" "Oh, you're from Sacramento. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to have a big festival. It's called Ratha Yatra." And I usually go up there and put all these posters up, and maybe you can do it for me this year. I can't get a chance to get up there. Maybe a couple. You know, okay, you know. So it was Jayananda. And next thing I know, I had about, like, you know, 5,000 posters or something like that. And a 25-page list of different health food stores and everything else, you know. So that was Jayananda. My experience was one thing after another. He was just very amiable, and you just felt like he was just like the most simple, humble guy you could talk to, and, you know, friendly. And then he would just get you engaged according to your ability. You couldn't go away with Jayananda. As soon as you got there, you'd be engaged in devotional service. So as far as I can understand, he was somebody who came from the spiritual world, you know, my experiences in dealing with him. It may be an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It was interesting. Humility personified. And this appearance day was anniversary is right before Nrisimha Deva's appearance day. But so many pastimes and activities like that. I think of one. There was a guy in San Francisco in the produce market. Of course, San Francisco is one of the biggest industries there is tourism. There's so many restaurants and stuff like that and schools. So the San Francisco produce market is like a, a city all by itself. Yeah? So the biggest seller of bananas was this guy named Banana King Louie. Yeah. And he was really like, behind his desk, he had this like, picture of his bust, himself and his shoulders, and very, regal pose. And under it said, do not ask what Banana King Louie can do for you, but ask what you can do for Banana King Louie. So Chayananda went there and convinced Louie to give a donation of bananas to the Hare Krishnas. So the news spread all over the produce market. Everybody just couldn't believe this. We were all talking about it and laughing about it. Louie gave a donation to the Hare Krishnas. So it went on every year. And then Jayananda left his body, leukemia. And so the devotees went, and he said, Mr. Lewis, we're having our festival, and you've always been able to give us bananas. And I said, Hare Krishna, okay, here's a note, pick up 20 cases. And he said, but where's Jay? And the devotees said, he had some leukemia and left his body. And so Banana King Louie started crying. He said, such a nice person. So even though externally he may not have known the philosophy, the jnana, the everything else, he had this taste, of the whole thing. And that may have been sufficient just to straighten the whole thing out. When it heats on at the time of death, there's a little association with someone, the Jayananda, which touched the heart. It may have been sufficient just to go right back to Godhead. If not, probably would have been, sufficient to take a proper body to be in a proper situation to understand.
Prabhupada
canonized Jayananda. Yeah, he said he's put his name on the calendar.
He's the only disciple that he did that with.
Yeah.
Vyasaji's book convinced me that Vishnu Janaswami and Jayananda more or less set the tone for the entire movement. And Jayananda, he was engaged 24/7 in service. Usually the first one up, the last one down, famous for the Rathiatras. You cannot fake that. You cannot fake 24/7 devotional service. That cannot be faked. I also heard a class he gave in San Diego. I wish I had the tape. It just slipped in my hands. And although he didn't quote a lot of verses, but he had such a working relationship with devotional service that his class was more powerful than most all of the classes I had heard up to that point.
Yeah. Was it about association?
No, it was about devotional service. He was the kind of person, when Prabhupada would come to L.A., Prabhupada would have to send somebody to go look for him because he was so engaged in service. And other devotees, they were just trying to get on the morning walks with Prabhupada, and Jayananda, he had to be sent for.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes he would fall asleep in Prabhupada's room with the devotees. He was working so hard. And Prabhupada would say, no, let him sleep. Let him sleep. Okay. So he'd be snoring during Prabhupada's darshan. Yeah. So, and also too, Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya, he said, don't make an illusion. I don't want to hang around to see your disappearance pastimes like that. So let me go before you go. So Haridas Thakur again also Prabhupada. So Jayananda, the same thing, appreciating Prabhupada's leaving, and so let me go before you do, Prabhupada.
There's one last thing. A neurophysicist, educated man, asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj one day if the safe position in devotional service was nishta, being fixed. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj's response was, nishta, nothing. He said, the safe position is Sarup City.
Yeah.
When you attain this Swarup, your eternal form, that's the safe position.
Right.
There's no turning back from there.
Okay.
But anything can happen up to that point. And Bharat Maharaj's story, I mean, it's just one of the most beautiful illustrations of reincarnation and someone who's attained such a high elevated consciousness. He's going into samadhi and he's still not done. And then he just a little slip and he had to take that deer body. But even in the deer form, he's practicing austerities to get to Judd Bharat. And he's no chances there.
Yeah. So he remembered Krishna. Maybe if he intends to make a mistake, Krishna doesn't forget.
Right.
You got any final comments here, questions, complaints?
Maharaj, I know it is late, but I did want to ask two things if it's possible. By the way, I wanted to say that the definition you gave of sublime is the best definition I've ever heard. With the dry eyes, that's wonderful.
It's because you're a chemist, probably.
No, not at all. We were just talking about Jayananda. That was wonderful pastime that you're relating. And that relates to the question I was going to ask, because Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he's stressing that hearing is the most important of the nine processes. All of them, or any one of them, can become perfect. And with Jayananda, you know, you would imagine, I guess it would be either serving the lotus feet or executing the orders, you know, service. But I've seen several devotees that have cited Jayananda. And they say that, well, Jayananda, he was, you know, great, great devotee. And, you know, they were really attached to him. But they kind of just concentrate on doing service to the neglect of hearing and chanting. You know, just forget it. You know, I'm going to become perfect like Jayananda. But actually, you look at their character, and it's a little bit questionable. Although Jayananda, I think, you know, my goodness, to the neglect of hearing and chanting, he was perfect. But I've seen others that kind of like try and follow in his footsteps. It was more like an excuse. So my question is this. You know, since Srila Prabhupada in so many places is stressing that hearing is the process is the most important, wouldn't it be safer to neglect the other processes and make hearing the most, the thing that you're going to spend the most time and energy in?
Well, there's one citation where Prabhupada says if we engage in the regular principles of hearing and chanting and don't preach, eventually we'll start preaching. He says if we preach but neglect the regular principles of hearing and chanting, then eventually we'll lose the preaching. So that's the point. Yeah. By that point, for example, Jayananda would walk the produce market, he would get all these donations and stuff and come back, put them away, and he would come into my treasury room, you know. And if he went with him, he had to go out during Mangalarti. He always takes somebody with him. And then he'd do the whole Gurvastakam while he was driving and stuff like that, you know. So the whole, you know, morning program was there. Then he'd come back and he would sit in my office and say, let's read a little bit, Hanuman, you know. And so I noticed this is Raganuga. In Raganuga, you can adjust everything according to the taste, you know. So he had every morning he would read Prabhupada's books. Every day he had the kirtan, he would have everything. So and his rounds were done. So I eventually began to realize he was doing the full morning program every day, no matter what. You know? But he was intelligent enough to be able to adjust it in terms of chanting in the truck with full concentration, reading to the devotee afterwards like that. So that's why someone like him, you know, never was, what's the word, a sannyasi is supposed to be, you know, or a Brahmin, setting an example that the neophyte can follow. Like that, you know. That's why I didn't want to take sannyas, because it's just formality. You know, you have to do everything so formal. I would love to wear shorts and play a harmonica. But of course, I never play a harmonica. But But he can't do that as a sannyasi so much because, oh, you've got to dress properly, you've got to act properly, you've got to be in all the classes. And then people see, well, he's the, you know, the formal example. So like that, Jayananda, he never was like, you know, touted as like an example for neophytes in that sense. So, but yeah, he was. It was all there. His hearing and chanting was beyond, you know, most people's like that. And yes, I would agree. The citations are there. That actually, what I have again, Chaitanya Charitamrita probably says that of all the services in the Sankirtan movement, and there are many, you know, chanting 16 nice rounds is the most essential, like that. You know? So yeah, you say, you know, it's, but we shouldn't use it as an excuse that I'm hearing. Probably says no sleeping in the name of hearing and chanting. So I'm thinking about something else, or, you know, no. It should be, the results should be there. But in hearing, then we should get some good Sankirtan results then.
Well, thank you very much. That really clears up a lot of things. Because I don't know a whole lot about Jayananda, but what you just said made a lot of sense. You know, because, for instance, the devotees I was referring to, instead of, he they don't reject hearing and chanting, you know, when they're working, they're listening to Rush Limbaugh or something on the radio. So I'm sure Jayananda can do that.
No, we always, the atmosphere is always like kirtan tapes playing and always chanting, you know, kirtan. You know? Okay. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Like, again, too, yeah.
He was given a lot of the devotees that were kind of washed out, that were a problem, or, you know, they didn't fit in any other way, and he would build rock carts with them.
Yeah.
Put them hollow at 10 o'clock at night to keep them going.
Yeah. That was amazing. Even like people with like nasty people, he would like get them engaged somehow or other, like doing something, you know, indirectly, you know. Yeah.
I just put a link on, it's called Hawaii, about Jayananda. It's called Jayananda Nuga. It's a tribute to Jayananda Thakur.
Oh, yeah.
He has a lot of pastimes. Yeah.
Nice.
If anybody wants to get more information about it, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I guess I should get going now because 1:45 here. And I'm gonna pack up a little bit and try and get back to my something here. I don't know. My schedule with Bhakti by Baba.
Maharaj, you going to Mexico, Ratra Yatra or Guadalajara?
No, it's in Mexico City. Yeah, we're gonna go there. Yeah, and it's really incredible because Jagannath fits into Mexico so much. And the way Lord Jagannath dresses and stuff, he's really got a Mexican humor. I think he loves tamales, and, you know. And, it's a really nice festival, right? Yeah, the festival. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay.
We'll have to let you go then.
Okay.
After class, I just need to talk to you for a moment. I'll ring you right up this so you have time to talk.
Okay. Thank you all very much for your association. All wonderful questions, and, you know, hope to see you in the pasture.
Well, glory to Srila Prabhupada.
You got it.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hari Bol. Hari Krishna. Hari Bol.